Blog Talk Radio.
It's not necessarily that. It's all about feeling good in your mind and in your heart and where you're at. It's not about the waist size. It's not about the scale number. It's about where you feel right inside.
Yeah, you've had ups and downs, but you've stuck with it, and you know, you never gave up, and that's what I just find so inspiring.
You say that I can be an inspiration. I think that, you know, one of the themes that we've been picking up tonight is, you know, what Team YRG can do for yourself and for others, and it's all about paying it forward. If I can help anybody, if I can help one person, if one person looked at what I did and think that is something that motivates them to do something, that motivates somebody else to do something, oh, good God, man, I can't explain how good that makes me feel.
It was just a complete moment of triumph, because at that particular time I went farther than my original goal, and I was still feeling amazing. And I just, the whole shot is emblematic of what you can do if you don't let your doubts mess you up.
Sparky, this is Mark Merrow. No, brother, you are really, and you guys are so inspirational. You know, Team YRG, everybody that is part of Team YRG has been so inspirational. Everybody, we all have a story. You know, God has a purpose for all our lives, and we use that. You know, it's like God has taken our mess and turned into our message. We take this message that we have, that we've taken control of our life. And you just said it, Sparky. It's taking control of your life. It's making that decision to take control of your life. And when you do, you actually put yourself in a place where you can inspire and help so many people.
If things weren't already interesting enough, I had a friend of mine call in. Ray Lloyd is actually on the line.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me. Sugar Ray.
Brother Mark, what's up? And I just remember him saying, because there's not a lot of people in this world who are known as much for their failures as they are their successes. He said, I've missed a lot of jumps. And he said, but you know what? I kept getting back up. And that's become like my new theme is keep getting back up. Because we all get knocked down. We all do. And you just keep getting back up.
It's me, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and welcome to the YRG Radio Roundtable.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to the best YRG internet radio show on the planet. We have Robert, Stacy, and me, Sparky. How you guys doing out there?
Doing great, Sparky.
I'm hanging in there as always, man.
That's cool. It is Thursday, July 7th. Thankfully, on a short week for me, because last week, man, I was ready to go down, but I didn't. I stood up and I crawled through the weekend, and I got to this week, and I'm crawling through this week, and I'm waiting for tomorrow to get here. So it's nice to talk to you guys. Oh man, we've got a lot going on, at least for a short week, and we've had a lot of new members come in. So I guess I'll just jump right to that. We've had our Texas contingent weigh in with Connie Black and NapCat 1947. I hope you're all doing well. You know, you've been invited by Stacy, Robert, and I come listen to the show. I hope you guys hit it and listen. And if you are, give us a call if you got any questions. As always, all you new people hanging out there in Team YRG, this is what the radio show is for. You have Robert, Stacy, and I who have lived the YRG life for many years combined and individually. So we hope we can help you out with anything that you need. So Shannon from Florida, welcome. Tracy Steele, James Emerson from the sister state of mine, Ohio, and Marvin Latham, welcome to YRG and Team YRG. We're glad to have you here in the community. So it is one of the best damn communities you'll ever be a part of. As far as social networking goes, it's a phenomenal site that Robert has us on in the Ning Network. It's great. It's basically like our own little Facebook, Twitter, Blogspot. Everything that you have and could ever want is all there. So go in, check it out, check the blogs, check the discussions, check the forums. You can get all the information you need right there. and every Thursday night at 9 p.m. with us here on the radio show and in the chat room. So we'll constantly going back to the chat room and see if anybody has any questions. If you do want to give us a call, 347-994-1216 is the number. We're all going to be here. And in a second, I hope you all wrote that down. I'm going to give everybody who's out there listening a challenge. We're going to see if we can get everybody on the line for a very special person. So we got a few data boys. Our professor, Henry Dembski, HD, made a post and was very happy. He was on a couple weeks ago. And our Holding Back the Hands of Times, the Art of YRG series, which Doug Steffen and Stacy helped lead to great discussions in that three-part series. But HD talked a lot about supplements and labs. And Stacy, he's helped you out a little bit, right? And you guys have talked about getting your stuff together.
Yeah, he gave me basically a one-on-one consultation and with some really good ideas about how to fine-tune what I've already been working with in terms of supplements.
That's awesome, and I'm sure it's working out for you, because if you look at what HD did this week, he's got a complete set of labs. His blood work came back completely clean, so congratulations,
nice.
HD. Yeah, isn't that
Yay.
Cool? I mean, he told us, he gave us the blueprint last week. He's given Stacy the blueprint, and she's been using it, and she can tell you, like she just did, that it works. So if you want to go back and listen, the three-part series is on Blog Talk Radio, as are all the episodes. You can download them or you can stream them. And it's the Holding Back the Hands of Time, the Art of YRG. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also, Sparky, he has on Team YRG's website, one of his blogs contains his top 10 of what he thinks are the top 10 essential supplements. So people can go there, too.
Oh, that's fantastic. And
the fish oil's got to be on that list.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that was the number one.
That was the easiest one for me to remember. And right after that show, I have a bottle downstairs, and I've been taking my fish oil every day since that show. So I told HD it didn't get lost. At least I know I'm on it. Stacy's on it. So
am I, actually.
What's that? You are? Awesome. So, what are you taking?
Just the fish oil pills. I think it was like 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah. Yep, no, that's fantastic. And I got an all bite, which I hope to replace with a couple other more targeted things. And the awesome thing, when you look at HD and what he does, he really challenges you to look at the science and the reasoning behind some things. So I started signing up for some medical letters and whatnot, and started getting some more scientific information. And one of the interesting things I got this week is like the power of an orange, how good an orange is for you, and like all. Actually, in the zest of the orange, there's and then other citrus fruits as well, like proven cancer-fighting agents. So people at work are freaking out because I'm peeling an orange. I eat the meat of the orange, then I turn around, the meat and the rind, and they're like, oh, God, that's disgusting. But I tell you what, if it helps keep me clean and helps my body, that's great. Another thing is the zest of the orange helps fight heartburn, supposedly. But since I'm cured of that through my YRG clean eating, I don't have to worry about it so much. So anyway, you guys got any tips that you've run into this week at all?
I'd have to think about that. Nothing comes to mind right off the bat. If I think of something, I'll break in.
Okay. Now here's the challenge, people. I told you I was giving you some time. Hopefully you got the number down. We've had some talk. 347-994-1216. This is the challenge. We've got a couple people in the chat room, and I'd like you to give us a call right now. If you're near the phone, give us a call. We're going to load you up while I'm talking, because we have a very special person that we want to give a shout-out to. And her birthday is this Sunday, July 10th. She's going to be 8 years old. So, Lexi Gutman, happy birthday. She is one of the youngest members of Team YRG. She has been doing this since she was 3 years old, and she's been doing it longer than a lot of people. She's been doing it for 5 years with her mother, Jamie. So they've really been kicking it. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
That's very cool.
Jamie posted pictures of Lexi working out. They're on Team YRG, and they are both adorable, and they're also very inspirational to see somebody getting it and just finding a groove in fitness at such an early age, you know, and it's just going to be a part of her life from here on out. I love her story and how she got it so young.
Yeah, it's too cool. And if you see, like, she's all into the baking and the food and the clean eating, too. She'll post pictures and be all excited about making food with her mom, Jamie. And, yeah, I'd seen some of those workout pictures. It's really cool. And Jamie, in her blog, her five-year anniversary blog, made a good point. She said, you know, with the way kids' bodies grow, you know, going out and, you know, some kids get out there really young, lift weights, and are doing some crazy stuff to their body. But with the low impact that YRG has, it's probably one of the best things a kid can do, you know, because it's not going to really stress that body out too much when it's already under the stress of growing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think it's really, I think it's fantastic. I actually look at Jamie and Lexi as a model, you know, for me and my sons, because I have absolutely no threat from YRG or doing that with Damien around. And Massimo, he kind of gets it. He gets up on the couch, and he's 1.5, and he'll kind of do a down dog and throw a leg in the air. I don't know if he's imitating me or he's just trying to be ornery, but Damien runs around the house, and he'll throw down a diamond cutter, and he'll throw down a down dog, and he throws a wolf right into it. So it's pretty cool. So anybody with kids, you know, it's a great thing to raise your kids in the YRG lifestyle, because, good God, if I had even done this at, what, Rev Kev's age in my 20s. Can you imagine how far ahead you would be? Not that it's a bad thing that you started right now, or I started right now, but, man, if I had hit this in my 20s, that's almost another 20 years I would have been doing it right now. Amazing. Can you imagine 20 years of YRG, guys?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and if more people did it, and I really believe the whole thing is going to grow over time, but I could just see, you know, this completely revamping healthcare and the crisis that we're in. You know, if people start taking care of themselves from the get-go.
Absolutely. So I threw that out there, 347-994-1216. Give them a call. Get the lines loaded, because we want to do a special shout-out to Lexi all together. So has anybody called in yet, Robert, or are they all kind of whiffing out on us for this very special...
They're wimping out, just, you know.
Well, guys, I thought of a couple tips that I can talk about while people are picking up the phone to call in to sing happy birthday to
all
Lexi.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Jay was just talking about trying to drink less soda, and I was at one time really addicted to diet soda, and what helped turn it around was I switched to seltzer. And it wasn't the same thing, you know, I didn't get the same high, but I liked, it still had the fizz, and I used lemon and lime and flavored it in various ways. And eventually my body got used to that. And so I'm just throwing that out there. If people are thinking about maybe giving up the whole chemical sugar aspartame thing with soda, that's a good way to go. And a lot of you know I sometimes indulge in fried foods. It's something that I probably will always love. And this is a tip I got years ago from one of Deepak Chopra's books called Perfect Weight. And that is to, as often as you can, or at least a few times a day, drink hot water. And he kind of used the analogy of a greasy plate. And if you want to clean a plate that's greasy, what do you use? Hot water. You know, you wouldn't use water. And I started to realize, you know, like my intestines and my organs are probably literally coated, you know, from all the years of, you know, of the eating I did. So I've made that a part of my life, and I'm just so used to it now. But I shared this tip with a friend of mine about a month ago, and she wrote to me a couple days ago and said she incorporated that and is doing it regularly and just being more aware of what she eats. and she's down a dress size. So I was like, wow, you know, but it's just one little thing you can do. It's not a drastic change, but it will help your body to function better. It'll feel better. And once you're sort of in that rhythm, it's going to want the warm water.
That's pretty cool. I drink a ton of water every day. I'm going to try that the next time I fill up my jug. I got like a half-gallon jug I take up, and I actually fill it with a ton of ice and cold water and drink it.
Huh.
And it's good to get the water in, but I'm going to have to try that. It's definitely a great suggestion and a twist, twist for everybody to try. So we're also going to be talking tonight about other things we put in our bodies. What are we feeding ourselves? A great topic that Stacy came up with about this. We're talking tonight not just about what you eat, but beyond food, how we sort of look at our day, internalize our day, and you know what we're really doing to ourselves. So, you know, one thing that I'll do if we don't have anybody on, I'm going to go at it solo. I'm gonna go ahead and jump to the happy birthday. We got anybody else? Robert, anybody brave enough to call in?
Not so far, no.
All right.
I'll join you, Sparky, so you don't have to do it solo.
That's okay, because people don't want to hear me doing it solo. I told them I'd find them if they don't listen to the radio show, but they might find me after listening to me sing.
Well, I'm no Mariah Carey, but, you know, it's coming from our heart, so that's what counts.
Absolutely. So, Lexi, happy birthday. I hope you have a great 8-year birthday on Sunday. And happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
You.
Happy birthday dear Lexi.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. Have a great one, Lexi.
Happy birthday, Lexi. I think you're so amazing, and keep on taking great care of yourself and being the beautiful person that you are.
Absolutely. You are definitely an inspiration, and, you know, only at 8 years old, I know you're driving me and you're driving a ton of other people to success with YRG, so keep it up. Be the youngest, and, man, you're gonna beat us all someday in longevity with YRG, so keep at it. So, anyway, we're going in here and talking about sort of our days, and, you know, Stacy, you said, are you a merciless critic, or, you know, one of the things are, for the most part, kind, and do you start or end your day with some negative news or headlines? I can tell you, last week, I beat myself up all week because of work. It was a pretty rough week, and going into this week, it was pretty rough. But I had to remind myself coming out of it, there's a weekend, and after five, there's a complete life after that. I think at one point, I posted in my Twitter or Team YRG, I said, dear everything, I quit. I'm going to live life at 90%, and basically I'm firing the 10%. So, you know.
I saw that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it probably took me a long time to get there, because I think for the first, you know, a couple months I started YRG, it takes a while for you to believe in yourself and to believe that you can do something, because I was at the state that I was at with my health, with my attitude, and with my life for many, many years before I started. And to try to turn that around in 6 months, you know, to a year, I think that's amazing that people actually do that. So, you know, what are some of the things, like, when you were thinking about this that you know, maybe grasped a hold of you that said, wow, these are one.
Well, you know, I've been doing a lot of work on myself for many years, and people who know my story, it seems like, oh, you know, I just all of a sudden woke up one day and got it, and then, you know, 180 pounds came off, and I just have this new life. But really, I just laid a lot of groundwork, and not knowing that this particular physical change was going to be a result, I just wanted more peace in my life. You know, I grew up with a lot of low self-esteem, and I was always a chubby kid. I was always made fun of in school, and I just did not have a good foundation in terms of a self-image. And I tended, because of that, I tended to attract people who mistreated me. And that was a pattern. And I thought, well, you know, when you're a kid, you just always blame yourself. And as I got older and I started getting into, you know, spirituality and self-help and you know, 12-step groups, I started to realize the dynamics behind some of this. And I started to heal from the inside out. And I knew I just had to sort of fake it. You know, they say fake it till you make it. And that's what I did. I started with, back in the 80s, you know, affirmations were so big. At one, Louise Hay, who wrote the groundbreaking You Can Heal Your Life, was
yes.
the one who started me on affirmations. And it was, you know, it was very robotic. I would literally sit, like, you know, when a kid's being punished and you have to write something 100 times. I was that rigid, you know. It was like I didn't have a lot of feeling behind it, but I just did it. I put the pen to paper. And I eventually, though, it did. I mean, I just kept moving in that direction. And my self-esteem started to change. I mean, it took a while. But then I realized, and I never thought that I was going to get rid of the weight. I just thought, this is me. I've accepted myself. And I'm tired of this perception that people of size, it's okay to mistreat them. And I got kind of militant. And I decided, you know, I'm not going to put up with that kind of behavior anymore. And I started putting out, you know, a different vibe towards people, and people stopped mistreating me. But I did have to, you know, I had to clear out some people in my life who were close to me that were invested in looking down on me because of my size. And that, I mean, that is really where it's at, is when you can get strong enough in yourself to say, I'm not going to be mistreated. I mean, the food is one component, but to try to just focus on the food and say that that's the only issue is really missing the point. So that's why I came up with that topic, because it goes through my mind when I sometimes I hear new members talking or I read some of their posts, and I know where they are. And I think it's great that they're working on eating clean and moving. That's essential. But this other part of the equation is just as important. It's who's in your life. Are they supporting you? What kind of treatment do you expect from others, whether it's your friends, your boss, somebody you encounter in the store, you know? That's all so important, and that's where my healing started.
Yeah, there's a lot like that, too, that goes out there. I know one of the things that I think I wanted to hit something you said earlier when you started saying you started to own your life. And change things and really start to get those people out of your life. It's, you know, you can look at your life and you can look at people around you. And one of the things that I kind of inserted into the write-up and is something I like that Mark Miro said is, you know, people and your friends are elevators. They can take you up and down. And when you look at that, you know, your future either belongs to you. And when you realize it belongs to you and you own it, it's your future. But when you keep those people around you and you believe them and you invest in them, your future isn't yours. You know, they own your future. And it's, you know, people who really allow other people like that around them are really robbing themselves of all they can be. And it really takes a lot of, I think, willpower and strength to finally build up in yourself to say, no, I deserve more, and no, I'm a better person than that, than they are. Because those kind of people, you know, like you said, you got to get rid of those kind of people. I've had people around me before. I had very few friends when I was in high school and when I was in grade school. And I always had a really close best friend to me. We used to call him Tommy Naito because he cut part of his big toe off with a lawnmower, but he was always very good to me, and I always kept a very small, tight-knit group of friends. And you know, I think that maybe one, I was kind of a shy, I was never really a socially outgoing guy, but also if I let that get any bigger, it seemed like the kind of people who were around me, because of my personality, I was shy, I was small, I was really skinny too. I was like, you know, when I was like in high school, I was maybe 145 pounds soaking wet, and I was like 6'2 by the time I was like 16. So I shot up like a weed. you know, and I was kind of geeky and everything. But you let those people come around you and they take advantage of you. And I think it's because they like to make themselves feel better. They look at you and they think you're lesser than them. So it makes you an easy target. You know, those kind of people.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's really interesting. I really believe stuff like the law of attraction, because once I started to work on the way I view myself, and it's a decision. I mean, it really comes down to just making a decision. I decided, you know, do I believe what society says about me just because of my size or this or that, or do I believe what I want to believe about myself? And once I made that decision, things started shifting. I unconsciously started putting out a different energy, and people stopped, you know, they stopped with their bullshit. It was just amazing. It was really amazing. But, it didn't happen overnight. It was painful. Some of it was difficult. I had to confront some people and be really honest with them, people I really felt were not good for me. But this brings up this. I remember this interview with Jack Lemmon, and he said, you know, he said something like, "Friends are some of the most important things you'll ever have in life, and you know when your friend is a true friend, when they are happy for you, when good things happen for you, you know." And I think we've all had friends that kind of like, really? You had that achievement? And you can just see it in their face. You know, they're really not happy for you. And those are the people I had to weed out. What's really cool now, because I hear stories of people who drop a lot of weight and some of their friends or whatever have a hard time with it or they get jealous. I did all that weeding out years ago. So now whoever's in my life now is truly happy for me. And that's just
awesome.
Like one of the nice gifts of having done all that work and all that house cleaning.
No, that's awesome. I think still today, even, you know, with people around, and I see people around me and stuff, they still sort of have some comments. Like, you'll see some people, and it's funny, the people who make comments today like that, maybe a couple years ago, if we were on equal footing, it was fine if we were going up and tearing our bodies up themselves, you know, going out for a night on the town or whatnot. But now, you know, if I have an improvement in myself, it's kind of like, oh, you know, hey, what are you doing over there? What is that you're doing? All of a sudden, I'm different from them. You know, all of a sudden, it's something to put me down because I'm a health nut or something like that. But you know what? I feel great. I feel paused. And like you said, the laws of attraction, I guess that's just propelling those people. And you know what? If those negative people find, you know, owning their life and somebody taking control of their body, eating clean, and really cleansing themselves inside and out, if they find that offensive, then go ahead, leave, because you don't need them.
Yeah, that's a definite red flag. And a lot of people in my life, you know, they're not on a similar path, which is fine. It's their life. But nobody, you know, gives me a hard time for doing what I do and living the way I live. And that's important to me. I mean, I think it's just an issue of respect. Oh, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about, respect. But go, I don't want to monopolize. You guys, Robert, do you want to say anything?
Well, I was just getting a bad storm, so I had to drop out. But luckily, it passed over pretty quickly. But I was actually curious to hear what you had to say about respect.
Oh, okay. Because I've been working for a long time on a book on my transformation. And somehow, one day it came to me how crucial the whole principle of respect has been to my transformation and my recovery, because it all started when I left a toxic job about seven years ago. And it was at a newspaper, and I loved the work, but the environment was toxic. And I realized what was so difficult about it is I was surrounded by people I didn't respect. And it's so hard. I mean, it's very hard to have a relationship with somebody that you don't respect. And I had to basically fake it, you know, and I had to fake it in my personal life with the guy I was with for a long time. And I'm like, you know, I have to be around people I respect and that I can, you know, admire and look up to, or else there's some sort, it's like a poison, you know. And it's not an easy thing to, you know, you can't just go out and quit your job overnight. I did a lot of planning, but I'm so much happier now. I'm a freelance writer. It's not, you know, a very certain job secure kind of a profession, but whatever anxiety I feel over money or, you know, where's the next writing job coming from, is absolutely nothing compared to the misery and the frustration that I felt having to, you know, like grin and bear this really unhealthy, messed up situation, which was my work environment, you know, where basically it was like the insane, what's this saying, the insane patients are running the asylum. It was kind of like that.
Yes.
It sounds so innocuous, but it really, if you're not surrounded by people you respect, you know, anyone who's been in that situation or is in that situation knows it really does kind of erode at your soul somehow. And that was a big part of why I needed to medicate, why I needed to drug myself, you know, because I was not surrounded by healthy dynamics or people. So, I guess I didn't really sit down and say, okay, I'm going to surround myself with people I respect, but somehow I knew to do that. I knew that was really key to living a healthy life.
Now when you say you're spotting people to respect, and when you were talking earlier about you were in the job and you knew it was toxic, like, and you kind of had to fake it, when you're in that situation, how do you recognize the people? How did you come to recognize to say, you know, maybe I'm in an environment that's just not right for me? I mean, you described it as toxic, but how does it become toxic? How can people notice that if they're kind of in a place with a job and they're thinking, wait a second, something's just not right here? What are they looking for?
For me, it was pretty easy. I mean, if you know you're doing good work, right? If you know that you're bringing good stuff to the table, and you're constantly criticized or told you're not working hard enough. You feel it. You kind of feel it in your gut. Like if you know you're kind of just barely getting by or trying to work the system and really not bringing what you need to the table. I mean, I think most people know when they're doing that. I was really doing good work, and just never recognized for it. It was mostly just, well, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, and just, it was a lot of petty stuff. And it was a complete opposite of, you know, I'd go out in the community and people would say, oh, you know, your story made me cry. I mean, you did such an amazing job telling my story. And I was getting the complete opposite feedback from the world at large. But when I went into this little cyclone of sickness, you know, it was just like you can't do anything right. I hate to say it, it was a boys' club mentality. And I was never going to make it in their eyes. I mean, I tried to fit in, I tried to do good work, and it was never going to happen. And I had to learn to stand up to myself. I mean, I had to confront my boss on a few occasions, and then it just got exhausting because I realized, you know, this job in this place is not worth fighting for, you know. I was even at one point contemplating a discrimination suit, but I want a clean break. I want a new life, and I'm just moving on, cutting my losses. And I don't feel bitter over this. I actually got a lot of great life experience and writing experience from that place, and met some amazing people out in the field. So I overall I'm very grateful that I had it. But those were some of the signs. Like, if you know that you have talent, if you know that you're a good person, and you're constantly being, you know, attacked or degraded or criticized, that is a major sign that you're in a toxic environment.
You know, a lot of people don't like their jobs, but if you drug into work every day, you know, there's a problem.
Yeah. You broke up a little bit, I know, on my side, Robert.
Yeah, it's probably the storm still going through.
Oh, you think you're still breaking?
I'll throw in something on that, but I think Robert was talking about looking in their work environment and figuring out what was going on. And, you know, I call that, there's, you talked about sort of the boys club. I've been in places where you've had, oh, the good old boys club, because there's a couple of guys and they fit the, you know, the mold of, you know, the old guys kind of hanging on and they kind of do things that all old school. And there's a bunch of them there that, you know, the A-team, there's a certain group of people that you're just not going to cut it. You're just not going to get up above them, and you're not going to kind of get into their mode. And you reach a certain place, you almost feel like you hit a glass ceiling. And that's when you got to decide yourself, and what I am doing, is it fulfilling? Is it something that I can continue to do? Can I continue to contribute and be successful in this organization? And is somebody going to recognize that? I think those are all keys to being success and having a healthy, you know, work life. Because, you know, if you don't have that, you know, you might get so fixated on making a living there that you're not making yourself a life outside of that. But I think we have somebody on the line. So do we have a caller there?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? Who we got?
You don't know who this is?
Oh, boy. Brother,
you want an SNK?
No, I do not want an SNK. Although I can find you somebody in the chat room who probably wants one. Jay would like one.
Stacy, how are you? It's Doug.
Oh my God, Doug! Monster motivator from Germany.
My voice probably sounds different. You know, it's like 3:30 in the morning here. So.
Oh man.
Yeah, you know I can't be too far away.
Yeah, you've got a little accent I think you're picking up.
Great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
So have you been listening?
Do you know, you want to weigh in on toxic work environments or respect?
Well, you know, there was one thing I just wanted to mention. You know, I didn't call in right away, of course, you know. But from what I've been listening, one thing is with the respect part. You know, a lot of people, you know, you're worried about respect and all this other stuff, but you have to respect yourself first. You know, without that, you're not going to get anywhere. You know, it all starts with number one.
Right. Yeah, because if you don't, then, like, what the case with me is I kept attracting people who mistreated me because I did not have the self-respect.
Yeah.
And that is where I had to begin.
Yeah. And then the other one was, you know, like the positive people bring positive things, you know. So it's right. When you're toxic or have anything toxic around you or live in that environment, you know, it just continues to bring the toxicity into your life. You know, you have to learn how to get rid of that and find the most positive thing out of the you know, the biggest pile of crap that you're in, you know.
Yeah. And you've been through so much and you're working your career. I mean, you could probably write a book. On challenges, workplace.
Yeah, I'm good though, you know.
You're good and all's good in the hood in Germany, as they would say.
You got it, man. You got it.
That's pretty sweet.
I woke up to call in, so I'm good.
Hey, that's good. That's good. Are you going back to bed, or are you hanging out for a while?
I'll hang out for a little while, you know, and just talk to you guys, and then I'll be going back to bed for just a little bit, and then got to get up to go to work.
Wow, yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, this conversation is really cool to me because one of the things that it reminds me a lot of is I'm sitting looking at a handbook that sounds like what we're talking about, and if anybody knows, I always get a chuckle out of it, a big smile on my face when Mark Miro calls in the intro and is like, hey, Sparky, I mean, Dallas and Robert really hooked me up on one of the first shows that we did with that, without DDP, and it was very cool. And How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet has a lot of that stuff in it, in his book. And it's kind of that blueprint to say, you know, being happy and being paused, it really attracts people of the same type. You know, it attracts the like people, and it's going to repel people who aren't that out of your life. And, you know, you really can't move on being happy if you have those people. It's almost like you're pulling minds, you know.
And at any point, if you have those people around you, they're going to hit you, and they can give you any kind of a disruption to your life and really knock you off of balance. And the farther you keep them away from them, the higher you're going to shoot with your life. You know, the higher your goals, the higher your hopes, and the greater the chance you have to reach them.
Well, you know, one thing to add to that is that, you know, it's hard for some people, really hard for some people to get rid of people out of their lives. You know, but you just have to. I mean, it's just, if you want to be happy and positive, I mean, it could be anyone from a family member to, you know, whatever, you know, one of your best friends for, you know, your whole life. But if they're bringing you down, you know, it's your choice. Either you can choose to go on that path and stay in that life, or you can choose to change. And it sucks really bad sometimes when you have to get rid of certain people out of your life. But in order for you to be, you know, to better yourself, you have to.
Yeah. And sometimes you really do have to let go of that kind of baggage. I mean, you might have a lot of good feelings there from when you had that old and that past relationship, but really take a hard look at it. And one of the ways I've kind of reconciled some things, and it's been tough to look at it like this, but, you know, Mark, and I think DDP has said it, if they look at the phone and they haven't contacted that person or haven't heard from that person, haven't seen that person has had a positive impact on their life in the past 12 months, they take them out. I don't necessarily do that, but it's one of the things is if I find myself in the past couple of times where I'm talking to somebody or I'm communicating with them, and it's all my effort going forward, yeah, I'm trying to be positive. Yeah, I'm trying to keep a connection, but, you know, there's something about that, you know, friendship, life, being positive and really taking people with you who are taking you up and not pulling you down, it's a two-way street. They have to participate too. And, you know, sometimes that might be a good justification for people to say, you know, it's time to put that relationship sort of on a back burner for whatever reason. Maybe, you know, it's one of those things where you have to lose touch for a while and make them realize that the type of friendship that you had with them. But if you're doing all the reaching out and all the work, there's definitely some other place in your life where that effort could go to continue to allow you to focus on the 90%.
And you know, sometimes that just happens naturally. You don't have to formally fire anybody. Sometimes you do. But when you're going in two different directions, sometimes things just sort of fizzle out, and there doesn't have to be a lot of effort. It's called it's the flip side of the law of attraction. It's the law of repulsion. And if you're like on one path being healthy and your friend wants to, you know, your eating buddy, because I had my eating buddies, you know. You're on two different tracks, so you're just going to sort of naturally, there's a party, it doesn't have to be dramatic or you know, awful, but it just kind of can happen naturally, too, just
yeah,
so you know.
So. And something cool that's happening right now is we have yet another caller who's dialed in. Hello, how you doing?
Hi, me? Hey,
yes.
Terry.
Oh,
hello.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Huh. Hey, everybody.
How are
been
you?
Missing you, so I just popped in to say hello.
The godmother of YRG. This is an honor.
Hey, it's so good to talk to y'all. When I was reading your note, Stacy, on sometimes saying goodbye to people or staying with the positive, and I've tried to do that for all my decade, and it's cost me some friends or relationships just from, I just call it like evolving. I'm growing and changing, and some people change with you, and some people are evolving and changing in their own direction, and sometimes it's a goodbye. It doesn't have to be harsh and ugly, but you may weave in and out of each other's lives. You don't know if their lives will change, and you'll weave back over time. But it's really important when you're changing your lifestyle to be of like with support and strength from people who are not trying to either make you feel bad for the change or being jealous from a change. But it's really important to look in your mirror every day, no matter what your size is, or where you're going or coming from or going to, and just look in the mirror and say, you look great today, that you love yourself and you say so, because most of the time we say, we're in a habit of saying negative things to people. So that would be my one thing that every day I look in the mirror, I say something good. I meditate or find quiet so I can think back in and reflect back in. And I call a friend when I need to. I talk to Doug, I talk to Stacy, and it's been a long time. I'm celebrating like 10 years of keeping my weight off, but it's still real to me. I still have to make conscious decisions every day to eat good or eat badly.
Yeah, and you show me, and I think you show a lot of people on Team YRG, what it takes. You know, there's no magic.
Right.
It's dedication. But it doesn't it pay you back tenfold? I mean, it's worth every ounce of effort.
It is, you're right, Stacey. To me, it is worth everything that I do. And it does, I believe, come easier with time and habit. But it still doesn't mean the very triggers you had, they're still out there. And and they still will fire at you. And what I hope for all of you is, like me, when I have those triggers, sometimes I have a bad day or a bad 2 days or something, but I get back on track out of habit, because I hear my body, especially with all the gluten issues and things that's happened with me. It speaks to me very clearly when I put food into myself that it doesn't like. And you find your rhythm, and if you listen and are tuned to your body, it will tell you, it speaks to you what to swallow and what not to swallow, and you'll go with it because every day you get stronger, better, you want to feel stronger, better. And before people, until you have some days behind you, you don't feel that food in your body. You're not conscious of it speaking to you. But once you get some track, I mean, I'm sure all of you are sometimes putting some food in your mouth. Perhaps it isn't right, but you get it now. It's whether you act on it or you eat more of it, but you're hearing your body speak to you, and I think that's huge.
I think it's really big. It's funny that you say that, because I think one of the most powerful things for me when I get into that situation and I can remember it, is one question. And it's one of the first questions and one of the first things that Dallas teaches you in the program guide. What do I really want? If I can ask myself that before I put anything into my body, I find myself making a win out of the situation. There are times I have caught myself maybe, you know, sort of unconsciously with my hand in a bag of Chex Mix if it's sitting out on the counter if the kids were eating it, and I start to have it in my mouth, and I'm asking myself the question, I have to run over the sink, and I spit it out, you know? I catch it before it's too late, but it's like, you know, if it's a stressful day at work, you, like you said, that trigger, you almost automatically go back to be like, okay, I'm just going right into comfort mode, and I'm going to start comfort eating, and I'm going to grab whatever's next to me. But you have to have something, that backstop that really tells you, all right, I need a check.
Right. I think it's also, though, important not to beat yourself up. I mean, don't let it go like, oh, well, it won't hurt anything, but to be forgiving of yourself, because it's just this one meal or this one time or this one day. It doesn't mean it's all over with. Everything you learned did is gone. It's just today I didn't do as good as I'd like to do, and tomorrow I'll do better. And I believe when you know better, you do better. You're not perfect all the time, but to have that allowance that you're going to have moments or time that you don't make as good of choices, but it doesn't mean you failed, because this isn't about a success of today. This is a lifelong change that you're going to live and do, and we're going to weave through it up and down it. And so it's not about, to me, all about just success, and if you blow it, you've messed up, you're lower than dirt, you know, whatever. It's just not about that.
Hey guys, we actually have an eating question that popped up in the chat room from Jay. He's talking about eating a rice and bean combo and wants to know if he can eat that for a meal or if he can eat it with chicken or whatever, and what kind of beans do people eat. You know, real quickly, I'll say, sometimes I eat them plain, sometimes I eat just black beans, Jay.
Those are actually my favorite. But what do you guys think?
Well, Terry's the nurse. I'll defer to her.
Well, if you're doing food combining, I don't always. It's a habit that I do at a lot of meals, but I don't do it regularly now. But rice and beans go well together because beans are both a protein and a carb, so that's a good combination. If you're doing food combining, then you wouldn't want to add meat because then you're adding a straight protein. Be sure, in my mind, be sure if you can to make sure your rice is a whole grain, a brown rice, a wild rice, to make it healthy and not a white rice that raises your blood sugar. And it's a full meal. I love black beans. I love cannelli, white beans. I like all kinds of beans, but I do probably prefer the black bean. But all the beans are good for you. The richer the color of food, normally the better the enzymes. But rice and beans are a great staple, and rice is the most neutral food you can eat. Half of the world eats a lot of rice, and America is the one place that does not consume as much rice. And so I always think of my foods as, is it inflammatory or not? And so rice and beans are a good way to get a protein and be a little more filling with the beans and energy and yet still be a good combination together.
And they've got lots of fiber, which
great fiber. Right, and if it's brown rice and beans, and that's going to really help that food pass right through that colon, because that's the key. You don't want food to sit in your colon and kind of rot and emit gases and sludge. And so just when you food combine, the food passes through a little quicker. But that's a great combination of rice and beans, and it should give you good energy.
Now, if you wanted to take out the rice, for instance, and replace it with quinoa, a suitable mix?
Right, you could use amaranth. Now, for me, as a celiac, and my nutritionist, she does not like to have quinoa, and there's millet, some of the cross contamination. But you all are different. If you're not really a celiac or severely intolerant, and you're just doing it because I don't think gluten is very good for anybody because it causes a lot of bloating and that. But some of us, it's deadly, and that's a different combination. But yeah, you can mix beans with any kind of thing. It could be a potato, it could be whatever, because it's a carb also, so you're not getting out of your food combining. Or you get beans and steak, and you're still kind of in your protein.
Yeah. Now if you're doing the food combining, if you did something like your the carbs and the protein type of thing, though, you'd want to keep those. You can keep those about 15 minutes apart or so, and be okay, right? Is that kind of the general rule of thumb?
Well, they do talk about food combining or eating in an order, and I have a lot of some pretty highly educated people that will all argue about all of that, because when you masticate and chew it all up, it's all kind of, I don't see it, at least when I've, even in surgeries or seeing digestiveness in my labs and stuff, I don't really see a beaker of digestiveness like lined up fruit, vegetable, you know what I'm saying? So, I'm not sure I buy into quite like that. The one thing I still stick to is I never, ever eat my fruit after any other food. I eat it first.
And how long do you wait after you eat
because
the fruit?
Fruit, like, and different fruits are different. Like a peach or like a blueberry, when you eat those, it pretty well goes straight through. From the time you swallow in your stomach, it takes about 10 or 15 minutes or less. It just digests extremely quickly with a minimum amount of energy spent. And that's the great thing. Your body doesn't exhaust itself digesting. Bananas, a couple of starchy fruits like a banana might take 20 or 30 minutes, but they'll pass very quickly. So I always eat my fruit first, and I've just stuck with that. My Dr. Saviano, she said I'd eat my apple afterwards. She's not as excited about food combining. Depends on different climates. She feels like if it's 90 degrees, if it's hot, that then you should food combine. That's why it was invented and created over in other countries because it's very hot. When you travel in the islands, we're having hot weather here in the 90s, that then you don't feel so heavy and stuff, because when you don't food combine, your food does sit and it takes longer and more energy in your body to digest. So that answers it.
Oh, that's all good stuff. Yeah, that's good, because in the morning I take a nice blueberry smoothie, and then I'll go do my workout, and I'll come back about 20, 30, 40 minutes later, and then have my eggs. So.
Well, this is, you kind of like me. I call my morning fruit, because I get up and I call it my internal shower, because I will eat, I don't know, a couple prunes and some berries, whatever I have, a little plate of fruit. And then I go work out and then come back for my eggs. But it's like it cleans your system out, and that's what my internist or Dr. Saviano would call it too. And so that's how I refer to it. She goes, every day I have my internal shower. It just keeps me clean like clockwork. And then I can work out with energy, and then I come and eat my protein afterwards stuff.
Absolutely. And your body's receptive at the times that you're taking it.
And I
tell you what, one of the best things about it, before when I ate, you know, I couldn't tell you when I would be in the bathroom and this and taking care of my internals and whatnot. I am like clockwork now. It's amazing.
Yep.
You know? So I know things are moving, and I know I got the right stuff going in and pretty much the right orders. So
it is,
you know,
so good. And when as a nurse I would, and even my clients now on my table, some people say, well, I haven't had a bowel movement in 2 or 3 days, or I'm lucky to have, I'm just so horrified. Because you, at least you go once a day, and often if you're eating so clean, you'll go every time you eat. Some people, there's a wide range, but the longer food sits in your colon, the more chance for issues. And so you, that's the idea, to process your food with the least amount of body energy, pass it through, get it out. That's one of the troubles with celiac, is because it sits there, and there, you know, and you don't have the little villa that it helps move stuff along and absorb the vitamins. So it's a whole different ball game for people that must not eat gluten. So,
and I think this is Chinese medicine. Maybe other philosophies say this too, but a lot of disease actually begins in the gut, you know?
Exactly.
Another incentive to eat clean and food combine if you can. I admit I'm a part-time food combiner. I do it some of the time. But I always feel better when I do, you know. I would say I do it most of the time, but sometimes I just want toast with my eggs, you know, so I do it.
Right. I was going to say, there for a long time, when I want to be the leanest, and for a lot of years I was a pretty strict food combiner, and now I like I particularly like Rudy's. I don't know if you've tried that, even over Udi's. But there's a Rudy's cinnamon raisin bread. And so often I will have it, my egg omelets. I usually have an egg white omelet of veggies and stuff. But it is such a treat. Most days I will have my toast. Not every day, but I do, and I don't have guilt. I'm healthy. I love it.
That's awesome, because that's one of those things where you've been on the journey long enough, and one of the things we've been talking about with what you put in your body and what you have in your life, I think, is sort of having YRG as the anchor, so you don't constantly feel like if you do something bad, you're going to fall over a 50-foot cliff. And at the same point, when you try to adjust it, you're not going in a flat-out sprint and going to run into the wall and hit the wall. You kind of know a balance. And once you've been here for a while, you got to have that balance in your life. And when you get that ebb and flow, Life is beautiful at that point. I mean, you're really living life at 90%.
I think that's really true. And to feel not afraid of food or eating, I'm trying to think back because it's been a long time, but I was so afraid I would really gain weight back, and now I just relax. I'm more relaxed about all of it because it's been a long time. And I want to be this size. And for me, it's become a matter of survival with the gluten. But I feel so much better for lots of reasons. But when I pick up food sometimes, or because there's a lot of good gluten-free foods now. There wasn't 5 years ago. I still have to say, is this getting me where I want to go? Because just because it's gluten-free does not mean it's healthy. And I want to stay, I want to age not just gracefully, but I want to age in good health. So hopefully I'll be blessed to die in my sleep just when you tire out. I've seen such awful ways to die throughout my nursing career. And you think you're going to escape it in your 20s and your 30s, but you start clocking in, the hormones start changing, and you start that aging process, but you only are as healthy on the outside as you are on the inside. And so it's all about the food that goes inside. And when people say, like, well, I don't have the money to eat as good, or you spend too much money on your food, the only I mean, people are worried about their house, what kind of a house they live in or what kind of a car they drive in. The only house we really live in is our body, and it's got to take us the whole distance. So I don't think there's any better place than to put your money into your body, because that's the only thing you have to live. And you can have all the money in the world, but you can't buy your health. You can get a good doctor, but you cannot buy your health. You have to, in so many ways, earn it and be respectful of your body and treat it like that and be kind to it and say so and say that you love yourself, because that's part of loving your body. Who you are today, with a belly, with your thighs, with flabby arms, with wrinkles, whatever, to love yourself, and then love the food you're going to eat and respect it and honor it by putting in good food for you, into yourself. That's your thing.
Yeah, it's so true. And our bodies, in addition to our unconscious mind, which is so vast and takes in things we don't even realize, but our bodies are intelligent. And I know all those years I was so nasty to my body with my thoughts, somehow that was damaging my body. So I'm very aware now of being just completely grateful for everything that it does. It carries me through life. And
exactly. It's not your enemy. It's your friend, no matter what size or shape.
Right, right. And our bodies are so miraculous to begin with. I just think it's really important to acknowledge that.
And,
out loud,
you know, and
when it's listening.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like we were saying earlier, we may have started later and at different points in our lives between, you know, those of us that are on the phone and those who are listening, and even, you know, and that's great. I'm very grateful that I was able to change my life a little over a year ago and start this path, and, you know, I feel 10 foot tall and bulletproof most days. Because before, I felt like I could have broken down at any point, and I feel great now. But, you know, the people who are listening who may be thinking about, you know, the YRG lifestyle, or thinking about eating clean and thinking about doing some zero-impact fitness, if you're in your 20s or your 30s, if you hit this as soon as you can, you're not going to regret it at all. You have such an advantage in your life starting as early as you can. It's unbelievable what's happened to me, and I'm pushing 40. So,
oh yeah,
you know.
And flexibility. Don't you think, Doug? Flexibility is the key to growing older. And I turned 60 in a couple of weeks here. And
amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's another big zero. But flexibility is the key, because if you don't use it, you lose it. And when I work with older clients and my patients at one time, if you don't keep reaching up for that cabinet, stretching, moving, if you don't do it, then you can't do it. And so if you want to protect yourself from osteopenia and osteoporosis and fractures, you got to be flexible. If the ligaments and you stretch give, you don't snap and break. And so some of this is, as your hormones are lessening, and some of us that are in those 40s, it's just another step in preparing to be 50, and then for me to be 60, and I already see how do I want to be 70, because it is different going into my 60s and my 50s. I, as healthy as I feel, I am 10 years older. And there's an awareness, and so the flexibility is key so that we keep moving and without injury to ourselves. Because once you break a limb, think of all the people that end up in nursing homes as they age in that. If they're not flexible, and
absolutely,
if they don't have good foods in them, enzymes and things like that, and women, if you're thinking about wrinkles and sagging and bagging, then you want to eat live, healthy foods and not foods that store in your body for hours and hours.
I know the yoga traditions have always said the spine is like an indication of how your what your real age is. You know, if your spine is strong and flexible, it doesn't matter your chronological age. You know, like you basically
exactly.
got a young body.
Exactly.
When I first started YRZ, and I think the power of what you were saying, I couldn't pull my foot up onto my knee to put a sock on in the morning. And at 37, that was pretty scary when I actually thought about it. And knowing where I am now, and you know what we all can do now with YRZ, we actually had somebody pop into the chat room. Jay Robert, I don't know if you're gonna try your phone or not, but Jay's throwing a question at you asking if you ate a lot of fast food before starting YRG. I know I did.
If I did personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely did. I used to, you know, that was pretty much, you know, 4 or 5 times a week at least.
Oh, yeah. When I was kind of living a developer lifestyle, It was very easy to take a bag of food out of a drive-thru, sit down, munch a bunch of fries and a burger and a Coke and think that was good for me because it was a quick meal.
Yeah.
It might have been a quick meal, but it was also very quickly putting my body in a very compromised position. So.
Yeah. Fast food is a binge eater's best friend because it doesn't fill you up. You know, like 20 minutes later, you could go again. So I don't see any, I don't know, I'm so glad that I've gotten through that addiction. But, I mean, it's just, I remember how I used to feel physically after eating a meal, and I basically just didn't want to move, you know. I would be sprawled. So that speaks volumes on the quality of the ingredients of fast food.
Well, and some of it you can't totally blame yourself by, like some people think of being weak or whatever, because it's a physiological addiction with all the sugar and the fat.
Yeah.
And so some of it is not just a weakness that you have or why you want to eat more of it and it tastes so good and people think it's cheap. But when people say also, a line I use when people say how much I spend on food or buying better cuts of meat or when I do eat it, no chemicals in them. But I always tell them, because they'll say, you know how much that costs? And I said, no. I said, I know how much my grocery bill is, but do you know how much a bypass costs? You know how much insulin and diabetes and heart attacks and stroke and stents?
Yeah.
You know, so, and all that prescription meds, that costs a lot of money. My organic food or my gardens, that didn't cost me so much.
Boy,
you know, Terry,
I hope to avoid as much of that as possible.
Exactly.
You know, Terry, that's a great point that you just said that. Another kind of way when I ask them is I ask them, when's the last time you went out to a restaurant? You know, and they'll say whatever. I say, well, when's the last time you went to, say, Chili's and got a hamburger? You know, that's like $9 or $10. I'm like, do you know how much good food I can buy for $9 or $10?
I know. Oh, excellent point, because eating out is not cheap.
No.
And so you just think what you can buy, and if you're spending $9 or $10, but you can get how many hamburgers out of that,
mm-hmm.
out of a package of good meat instead of out. And even cheap food, when you go in the stores, all those bags of chips and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, all that costs money. So that's a good point about eating out. And bring the food back home to, I bet, with your families when you're cooking, like we used to do growing up. When you're cooking in the kitchen and my husband and I will make a meal together or clean up afterward together, or when people over and our friends, we grill out and we do this together. It's much more fun than in a restaurant. And bring back those kinds of experiences. And it's not about depriving yourself. and eating crappy food. We eat really good food and share it with people.
And people don't even realize how much better it tastes than the other, you know, the process and all that other crap that you're putting in your body.
Oh, yeah, once you get your palate realigned without the salt and the sugar, it does take, you know, probably most of you remember those first few days of trying to wean off that stuff because it's all chemicals.
Yeah, you can actually taste food. It tastes like food.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I love the point that you were making a little bit ago, Terry, when you're saying sort of about having the family in the house, and it sort of goes with the topic tonight. When you have the family there and you're cooking, you're bringing something together and you're doing something healthy and you're doing something that's also healthy for the relationships in your life, which is also going to help you be a little bit more rounded and helping to live a more positive life and live life at 90%. Anything you can do to foster that is fantastic. And you know what? Eating clean, having family values, good, clean family meals, and doing things in that manner that brings people together.
Right.
It's just going to supplement that entire experience.
Right. And this is a good time to show your kids that you play together, you exercise together, that you value your body and the food that you eat, and that they're important enough to you to do it. I mean, it's a different time now that everybody's texting and phones and TV's going at meals, or they're not even sitting down together. I mean, my son's older so than most of you guys with your kids, and I served a meal still every day back then, and TV was off. We just didn't do some of that stuff. And as I watched the obesity levels, I mean, we just set new records on every state but Colorado increased their obesity, and a few of the southern states were 33-36% obesity of the residents. And so this is give your kids a chance to live without diabetes and heart disease by training them now and turning off the TV a little bit more. They don't do what you say. They do what as you watch. They're watching you. They're emulating you. And if you respect your body and you get up, get moving, and are active and limit your foods and stuff, they're going to learn that from the get-go and not suffer like the kids do when you work with children that are overweight and how they feel and bullied and ridiculed and self-esteem and that. When this is your chance for all of you all with kids, they're going to plan your families. So you're not just helping yourself, you're helping your kids.
Yeah, I'm really excited at the chance my sons are going to have, because they're already so, I know Damien and Massimo a little bit, repeating what we do, imitating what we do. But Damien's so excited when I put a DVD in, and, you know, we're teaching him a little bit better clean eating habits. But he looks and he's like, there's DDBVP. You know, he gets a few syllables in, but he'll, like I was saying earlier, he gets into the workouts and stuff, but I think it's great for the family. I'm going to throw the phone number out there one last time in case anybody wants to call in and make a last call before we start to pull it in. It's 347-994-1216 for anybody else who's out there. We got a great show going on, and actually still a pretty full chat room. So,
I'm going to say good night, you all. It's so good to talk to you, but I'm going to go check in my hubby. So
thanks so much for calling, Terry.
Good night, Terry.
So glad to talk to y'all.
Come back anytime.
You. Yep. Bye, Doug. Bye, James.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I think Terry tried to call in a couple weeks ago, and I don't know, was that, maybe I think Ray was on the line, and, you know, when Ray's talking, sometimes he goes.
She is always a fountain of information and inspiration. And I know I wouldn't be where I am without her guidance, because she really helped me see that I don't have to do this perfectly. And that was such a huge relief, because I'm like, I've never done anything like this long term, because I always put such high expectations on, you know, it's got to be perfect and I can't do this again or that again. And she really showed me the way, so I wouldn't be here without her.
Yeah, it's amazing what she's done, 10 years with YRG and working with Dallas and having that relationship. And, you know, she's always so positive and, like you said, a fountain of information. Robert, we got anybody else who's calling in to say anything else?
Nope, not right now. No, it's just us.
Okay,
oh, I just also wanted to acknowledge, because I know Kathy Wilkinson's on, she's in the chat room, you know, that they are another great example of they're leading their children by example. I know they do YRG as a family, and she's into gluten-free, and she's a great cook, and she's just, she's giving her kids an amazing foundation, as is Doug, and you, Sparky, and I'm sure Robert is, and James. I mean, we've got a lot of people out there who are really laying great tracks for their kids. I think that's fantastic.
You know, Stacey, I wanted to say one thing about Kathy and Rich and the kids. You know, I've actually probably met, I don't even know if I might have met more people than actually Dallas has met, other than, you know, like he's met him at Comic Cons and new people. But the majority of people that I've been on, you know, the Wilkinsons came down and stayed at my place, and phenomenal family. You know, and that's a great thing about Team YRG, just like what you were talking about with Terry. There's always going to be somewhere or someone that's going to be there to help you out. You know, if you fall, you know, they're there to pick you back up, or there's always, you know, people you have a better connection with, you know. Like I told Sparky the other, I don't know if it was like 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, thanks for checking in on me. You know, because he just wrote me an email, hey, how's everything going, you know. And that's the great thing about Team YRG. People are always going to be there, you know, for you to help you out.
Yep.
That's right. You know, I got to help support the old man, you know.
Uh-huh. SNK,
don't worry,
SNK.
I got to get him in now because I know what's coming at the YRG retreat, which I hadn't mentioned yet. But for everybody who's listening, you know, August 25th through the 29th, it's going to be a phenomenal time. We were talking about eating well. We're going to eat well there. They got a greenhouse with organic veggies. We're going to work out with Dallas twice a day. I'm going to spend most of my time trying to hide from Doug, so, you know, I stay healthy and don't get too beat up. But it's going to be a really good time. So if anybody's out there listening, you should go. You excited, Doug?
I am. I'm still, there's a few things I'm working out right here. I don't have a definite right now. I will know within the next week or so what's going on with me. So who knows? Maybe I'll just surprise you guys and just show up.
That would be awesome. That'd be fantastic. And I think, Robert, were you thinking about going?
Yeah, different things lined up. It's like Doug. I've got a couple things I need to fall into place first, but I'm definitely trying to make it.
Cool. So we got a lot of people thinking about going, a lot of people going, I'll be there, RK will be there, DDP will be there. Stacey, I think you said you were sticking this one out, or are you going?
I have a conflict. I already booked a vacation that same week, and
hey.
I basically can't get out of it. Otherwise, I'd be there.
That's cool. So this is the first one. It'll be cool. It'll be a lot of fun. You know, I'm looking forward to that, and that's actually coming up in a month. We'll have a couple more shows to talk about it before then. I think we've had a pretty kicking show tonight again. We're going a little over our hour, which is pretty cool. Lots of good topic, lots of good talk. My last happy birthday out to Lexi. You know, I hope you have a good one, and we'll talk to you on Sunday. You guys got anything else you want to close out with?
No, I'm good.
Feed
yourself well in all ways. That's what I want to close with.
All right, man. Well, that looks like it. We've had a great show. Like Stacey said, treat yourself well. Everybody, tell them 10% to get the hell out of town. Live life at 90%. For Robert, Stacey, Doug, and Terry, this is Sparky. Have a great night.